Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another live in-studio performance in our series we call the Soundcheck Podcast. Streaming live on YouTube and Facebook, I'm John Schaefer. The band Upper Wilds is a noise pop group based here in New York. That means their music is full of crunchy, distorted, sometimes unidentifiable sounds, but they also have an undeniable knack for catchy melodies as well. If you've heard Dan Friel perform here in our studio or in his solo performances, you'll know perhaps what to expect. He's brought the band Upper Wilds into our studio today to play some songs from their most recent album, which is called Mars. This first tune is called Wine Flies.
Thank you.
That is the band Upper Wilds and a live performance of a song from their most recent album. The album is called Mars. The tune is Wine Flies. Dan Friel on voice and guitar with Jason Binnick on voice and one very distorted electric bass. Jeff Ottenbacher behind our drum kit here in the studio. They'll be joined momentarily by Katie Eastburn on vocals as well. Dan, good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
What are wine flies?
So the story with that one is that the first Earthlings to enter deep space, so anything beyond the moon, were a collection of Russian wine flies and tortoises. And they were
sent by Russia?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And supposedly they made it back. The tortoises lost a little weight, but they were good. And so it's just sort of from the perspective of, you know, the first Earthlings in space.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first Earthlings not being humans at all, but
nope.
These modest little creatures. So wine flies are a type of fly?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get into, you know, science that I don't actually know very much about here. But my understanding is they...
Go ahead and fake it, Dan.
They lay their eggs in cheese and grapes and, like, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to trail off. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about Mars.
Sure.
How long have you been fascinated by the red planet?
I mean, like most humans, a long time. The idea to do a series of records about the planets, which is what this is the beginning of, was something that I've been playing with for a while. The first record that this band put out, Guitar Module 2017, sort of hinted at that. And then I was just trying to set up a system for myself to help generate lyrics. Like, the riffs come easy. The words I always spend a little more time on. And I thought that if I have this, you know, eons-old obsession with the planets to work off of for themes, it would help me come up with lyrics, and it worked really well on this one.
Huh. Okay, yeah. So Mars is just the beginning.
That's the plan.
All right.
I'm going to do a little 7-inch record called Pluto. It's going to be great.
Because, of course, Pluto...
is a dwarf planet.
Yeah, yep. gets a little dwarf recording. Guitar Module 2017, ironically, was a keyboard-based... project.
Well, I mean, okay, so there's a lot of guitar on it. The source of the band is that I missed playing guitar. I still do my keyboard music,
okay.
But that was one that I made by myself, sort of as like a test run.
Uh-huh.
To, you know, put together songs, see if it still felt good to sing and play guitar, and it did. But yeah, the instrumentation on that one is me on guitar, me on drum machine, me on synthesizer, me on vocals.
Mm-hmm. And this one basically is this kind of setup of guitar,
mm-hmm.
bass, drums, and... are there sounds from NASA woven into
yep.
this record?
Yeah, I mean, NASA, over the last 10 years, has released various sounds and encouraged people to use them.
Right.
And, you know, people love that. Some of it's real corny, but it's out there. And I just tried to find a way to use it. There's a lot of drones on this record that are made out of vocals, like chopped up vocals. And the last one, the very end of the record, fades into a recording that is... audio from a satellite that's looking around for habitable planets outside of our solar system.
Right.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I mean, I did suspect I was hearing some of this NASA, but with mm-hmm. all the noise,
yeah.
And I was, is that NASA or is that Dan again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sounds that I like are pretty science fiction anyway, so it all works well together.
Yeah. Are you a sci-fi fan? I mean,
oh,
did
yeah.
you read The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury growing up?
The Martian Chronicles I tried to mess with when I was like, I don't know, too young. And I was like, this is boring. And I put it down. A couple years ago, me and some friends did a sci-fi book club for a while that was really fun. And that was totally a launching point for me deciding to do this. And that was great. I think the best one I read out of that was either The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin,
right?
Which is fantastic.
Yep.
And also A Canticle for Leibowitz.
Oh,
I'm forgetting the name of the author. Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do.
Because it's the only book he wrote.
That is a wonderful book, and I'm embarrassed that I'm forgetting the author's
name. It's
gorgeous,
yeah.
Walter Miller Jr., I'm being told from the control room. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
yeah, and... otherwise unknown author, but just a wonderful, wonderful book.
Yeah.
I read that many, many years ago, so
yeah.
I at least have an excuse for not remembering the author's name. But so did you see this album as kind of an exercise in sci-fi? Because you know, the best sci-fi actually is very kind of grounded in, you know, you can read a lot of social, political commentary into a lot of that stuff.
science fiction and writing about the universe is so broad that you can pour anything into it.
Right.
You can make it about whatever you want. And so as a person who, at this point, you know, my day-to-day life is not tremendously exciting. You know, I have, you know, a young child, I work a job. I can use this as a way to write about things I'm thinking about and make them exciting enough to match the music that I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what is Perfect Eyesight about?
This one is a slight digression from the space thing, but only slight. It's about a doctor, I think a Columbia grad, in the early 20th century who believed that eyeglasses were a scam and that staring at the sun could cure problems with eyesight. He also had a very interesting life. He... I can't remember anybody's name today, but he also had this thing where he would, you know, disappear for years at a time, and they would find him in like another continent, and he wouldn't remember where he had been. But he was very popular, and his whole thing of perfect eyesight without glasses—you can find his writings online, and they are very psychedelic and very odd. And there are still people out there on the internet who believe that he was right.
Hmm, psychedelic and odd sounds like a natural for this band. Now, the first song was clearly in some kind of open tuning because you were like hanging your thumb over the the bottom three strings and letting everything. So
they're all like that, yeah.
Are all the songs in open tunings?
Yeah, pretty much. Definitely a you know, a byproduct of being like obsessed with Glenn Branca. You know, as a teen,
the late great Glenn Branca.
Yeah,
who created symphonies for small armies of electric guitars.
And some large ones.
And
I played the 100 guitar one at the base of the Trade Center in July 2001.
Yeah.
And I have this like memory burned into my brain of like sitting there with 100 guitar players and playing these, you know, massive drones and just craning my head back and looking up the side of the old Trade Center.
Yep.
And it was a pretty good visual to go along with that music.
All right, so this piece, Perfect Eyesight, the band Upper Wilds, it appears on the album called Mars, but let's hear a live performance.
All right.
Okay. We're just gonna stare at the sun till it fades, glare at our palms until we can see the perfect field of gray with our eyes. Till it all burns away. Lay down your arms, lay down your head in that perfect field of gray. In that perfect field of gray. Gonna stare at the sun till it fades, and I might disappear for years, or I might watch the wall for days. It's in our blood, the way the light decays. Lay down your arms, lay down your head in that perfect field of gray. In that perfect. Thank you.
Perfect Eyesight is the name of the song from the band Upper Wilds, with Katie Eastburn sitting in on vocals, and that comes from the album called Mars, although, Dan, it's kind of a little interlude in the story of the colonization of Mars, right?
I mean, they can't all be directly about space exploration. That would get boring.
So where does the name Upper Wilds come from?
I don't know. List of band names. Sarah came up with it, my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were just brainstorming, and it seemed correct. I mean, I was leaning in the, you know, sort of space rock direction.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
All right. So Upper Wilds here in our Lower Manhattan studio, and playing some music from the album Mars. It has struck me on various occasions over the years that if you played these songs just like at home on an acoustic guitar, and maybe Jason had, you know, an undistorted bass, that these would sound like very nice pop songs because they have that structure. You know, you're using the verse, chorus, verse structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you add all this other stuff and all the pedals and stuff. Where does that attraction to noise come from?
The attraction to the noise came first. The first bands that I played in were, like, you know, pretty straight up, like, experimental harsh noise and grindcore bands. And that stuff was my introduction to punk rock as a teenager. It just happened to be, that was the band I joined when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense to me. It's like, okay, this is punk rock. This is about rebellion. It should be the most far out thing you can get to. And that stuff made sense to me. So for years, I did a lot of improvised music, a lot of just like straight harsh noise stuff, and playing in just like extreme, you know, hardcore metal bands. And then gradually, my interests expanded, and I started folding the melodic stuff into it.
And when you write the harmonies, maybe write is the wrong word, you're not actually like notating vocal harmonies and things like that.
I mean, it depends on the song, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So those have the sound of like classic 60s pop songs. Is
sure.
That, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of that comes through bands that mixed those things before me, like Husker Du's cover of 8 Miles High.
Mm-hmm.
Is like a colossal influence on me. It's a gorgeous song, and they just absolutely tear it up.
Right.
Yeah.
They also didn't they do the Mary Tyler Moore theme show?
Ooh, you're going deeper than I know, but I am curious to find out about that.
They did. So, as we mentioned, these first two songs are both from the album called Mars, and where do you go next? Will it be Jupiter, or do you head inland towards the sun to Venus and Mercury? What are you thinking?
You really want a spoiler?
Yeah.
My idea right now is that the next album is going to be all love songs, and it's going to be Venus.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I see. So it doesn't have to be astronomically correct.
No.
It could be astrologically correct.
It gives me something to hold on to as I tie it all together. Also, there's all these interesting things about Venus where, like, there's a convention of naming of craters.
Right.
So on the first record, it closes with Emma Dean Crater, which is the name of a crater on Mars, which is named after the wife of an explorer. But on Venus, you know, people tended to name the craters after different, you know, musicians and artists. Like there's a Patsy Cline crater, and there is a Edith Piaf crater.
Really?
I don't know. Just like
that's fodder for some good songwriting material.
That is exactly what it is.
Yeah. All right. Then as you cast your mind towards maybe Mercury and Neptune, and, you know, I'm looking in two different directions, obviously, the pickings seem slimmer.
Listeners, give me ideas, because, like, I'm that's all I got.
All right.
You know, I'm like, Jupiter, let's just play this riff really slow for a long time.
All right. The next song you're going to play for us is not from Mars.
That's true.
It's a very earthbound, well, actually, I was going to say a very earthbound story, but Roy Sullivan had a connection to...
To the sky. One might say. Yeah, yeah. So this is one off of the first record. So Roy Sullivan had the record for surviving the most lightning strikes, which was 7 documented ones, although there was supposedly an 8th when he was a child that he didn't, you know, include in his total because he didn't have any documentation for it.
Uh-huh. How does one document a lightning strike?
You well, mean, like, the medical rest of them, records? He was an adult. Other people were around. He was generally working as a park ranger. And so he was able to show people where he had been struck.
Right. He's no longer with us, right?
That is correct.
This guy passed away some time ago. Not from lightning-related damage.
No, the story has a pretty tragic, not lightning-related ending, which I didn't really know how to address, so I just kind of went pretty and wordless towards the end of the song. But yeah, he committed suicide.
In Dooms, Virginia, I'm being told.
Okay.
Yeah. Karen
control
again
room.
In the control room, full of information needed and sometimes less so. So the song is called Roy Sullivan. So this is a tribute to the record holder for Survivor of the Most Lightning Strikes.
That's right.
All right. It's the band Upper Wilds. This is on the last record, Guitar Module 2017. Here's another live performance. The song is called Roy Sullivan, named after the park ranger who set the record for surviving the most lightning strikes. 7 documented, although you do count to 8 in the song, in the lyrics.
Yep, first verse is 7, second is 8.
Yep. And that is from the first Upper Wilds record called Guitar Module 2017. The latest record is called Mars and is all about, I mean, there is a kind of a concept behind the record other than the planet itself.
Yep.
It's the drive to go.
Kind of the tentpole songs of the record have a through narrative where it opens with kind of a warning to the universe about the impending age of corny billionaire explorers. And then moves on to the song Mars, which is sort of just, you know, again, you can pour anything into the theme of sci-fi, but it's definitely about acclimating to a new alien landscape, which, you know, you get to talk a little bit about today in there, too, if you want.
Yep.
And then the last song, X-Frontiers, is sort of, you know, the refrain there is that these X-Frontiers, they all look the same, with the implication that they've been, you know, turned into strip malls. and the narrator is looking where to go next.
Yeah.
And then in comes that that NASA sample from the satellite that's looking at other solar systems.
Right. Now, I know that you've played softball before, and I'm going to write down on the back of this piece of paper the name of a softball team that I would not mind seeing sent to Mars, perhaps with an inadequate supply of food, water, and oxygen. And I'm going to ask you, if there were a softball team that should be sent to Mars, in your opinion, what softball team should that be?
Why are you trying to make me into the bad guy?
I've already written my answer here.
So we're talking about softball games that. So I played for the Onion softball team way back in the day, but you know what? I don't really have any beef with any of those teams. Like they were very entertaining. I am not going to. I'm not going to harsh any mellows. Let's go there.
I have written High Times.
I know. So the joke is that the Onion team, which I was on, which was not great, except for Andy Battaglia, shout out Andy Battaglia, would play against High Times, which at that point, hilariously and notoriously, was the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Apparently,
and jerks about it.
And
it's my show, I can say it.
John, at some point, like, you know, stormed the pitcher's mound and... cleared the benches of the WNYC softball team in Central Park.
There's your next album.
Forget about this. High Times is a jerk?
No. If you're going to make stuff up, me storming the mound and the bench-clearing brawl, you know, the epic tale of WNYC versus High Times. Forget about all this nonsense, outer space and astronomy and the search for extraterrestrial life. Who cares about that stuff?
Okay.
People want the real meaty.
That's where the real action is.
That's right. Dan, great to see you again, and congratulations. It's a fun record.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
It's called Mars. The band is Upper Wilds, and this is the Soundcheck Podcast. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.